This sermon was recorded at the worship service of the First Congregational Church of Albany, New York, with the church's pastor, Reverend James Eaton, preaching. The church worships at 10:30 every Sunday, and everyone is welcome. We're located at 405 Quail Street in Albany, New York. For more information, go to our church website at albanyfirstcongregational.org. Thanks for listening. May you find a blessing today.
Will you pray with me and for me? Oh Lord, in this season of Lent, may your covenant become a clear and shining path that we may walk towards you. May the meditations of all of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, who alone is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before he goes anywhere, before he preaches anything, before he heals anyone, Jesus goes to the wilderness. Now, some of you, I think, like the wilderness. Some go camping. I like to think about camping. I don't really like to do it. I just like to think about it. We get catalogs from REI. REI is a company out in Seattle. It's where you go if you want to equip yourself to climb Mount Everest. And I love paging through there. I love looking at tents that weigh ounces but could keep you safe on the side of a mountain. I love looking at coats that are good down to minus 50 degrees. I could have used one of those this winter. I like looking at the shoes that you could walk up Mount Kilimanjaro in. I like looking at the little tiny stoves and the gourmet freeze-dried food. Of course, when you get all that together in one of their incredibly wonderful packs, that's not going to the wilderness, that's going camping. And my partner, well, she has a different idea about camping. She explained once that she wasn't going camping unless there was a nice lodge and there were showers and there was a microwave and a place to plug in her hairdryer. That's not the wilderness. That's not the wilderness. We've lost our sense of what the wilderness really is, because when we talk about it, we talk about going with all this equipment, a boat, a camper, an RV, and a generator to run it all. That's not the wilderness. That's not the wilderness. The wilderness is not anything that you can get ready for. The wilderness is nothing you can get ready for. It is where you are lost, where you are losing even yourself, where you don't know what to do, where you feel overwhelmed, where there's no pathway, where there's no safety, where you can't rely on anything. In the last few days, we have been eavesdroppers as the wilderness consumed what was called the safest community in Florida. In a place that everyone assumed was safe, a young man went into a school with an automatic rifle. He wasn't old enough to buy beer. He wasn't old enough to go to a bar. But he was old enough to buy a rifle that has no use except to shoot people. A rifle designed as a combat weapon. And he used it to kill people. Now, I can't imagine the wilderness of grief that those family members are experiencing. I can't imagine the wilderness that the family of those killed kids and those staff people are experiencing. You know, all of us who've had high school kids know the drill. You send them off in the morning, sometimes you drop them off, or you just put them on a bus, someone picks them up, and sometimes you've had a fight in the morning. You need to get going, you're late. Sometimes everything has gone well. Always they're running late. And so you have that last little moment as they're going out the door. Okay, I'm leaving, love you. By the way, I got practice, can you pick me up? And you assume you'll be able to. I can't imagine the wilderness of parents who discovered they would never pick up their children again. God didn't make this wilderness. We did. And the temptation here is to talk about how to make a path out of it. But I want to stay with the wilderness because the wilderness is various, and this is only one part. The wilderness comes in many ways, in many places. There is the wilderness of a doctor's office and a frightening diagnosis. There is the wilderness of grief, losing a spouse or a loved one. There is the wilderness of depression. There is the wilderness of not being able to tell people who you really are. The wilderness is not geography. The wilderness is not a single place. The wilderness is theology. The wilderness is a condition of life where we are alone and overwhelmed. And the text asks us, how can we deal with the wilderness? Jesus is thrown into the wilderness. The text uses a little word, sent, a little tiny word, sent, into the wilderness. But you know, that doesn't begin to describe it. We talk about somebody being sent to the store or sent to get the mail. That's not the experience that's described in this gospel text. In the gospel text, what it really says is Jesus is thrown into the wilderness. He's picked up and thrown suddenly into the wilderness with no preparation whatsoever. The real meaning is that he's put in a place where he does not know what to do or where to go, just like us. Let's leave him there for a moment. Let's talk about another wilderness moment, because that's what the flood is. Genesis traces a history of violence and human self-seeking that leads God to start over. And I think that this text, even though it's a story and imaginative, really depicts the experience of many communities. This is a story that takes place and the land between the rivers, a flat land where floods were common, and I'm sure that communities were wiped out, that everybody they knew was wiped out. I know that that happens in communities today. We saw what happened when hurricanes swept through the Caribbean and Puerto Rico and Houston and other places, whole communities completely wiped out. We've seen tornadoes that came through and wiped people out. That's what the flood is. It is that thing that wipes you out. But it's also a moment when God is recreating, and at the center of the story, at the center of all stories about God, there is a person of faith who chooses to do what God says, even though it doesn't make any sense to him. God tells Noah to go build a boat. I don't know if you've ever built a boat, but it's a very difficult project. Even simple boats are difficult. I've been thinking about building a little tiny rowboat, a little dinghy that I could use. And every time I get close to ordering the plans, I think about the 100 hours, or I read, this is about a 400-hour project. And I stop. So I can't imagine what it must be to build an ark, a whole ark. Not like the ones we usually picture, probably, but more of a flat-bottomed raft. And then to gather everybody in the family and to gather a bunch of animals. Have you ever been around a bunch of animals? Have you been in a barn? Do you know what barns smell like? So When you think about the ark, you need to think about all those animals. All those people. I've never been on a boat yet where the head didn't back up when you put a bunch of people on it. So there they are, and there's nothing but water. There's nothing but water. Even sailing and cruising and knowing what I know on a well-found boat, it's threatening to be out of sight of land on the water. And there they are for a month or and a little more, waiting for the waters to recede. Finally, the waters do. They land, they come out of the boat, off of it. The animals scatter, I'm sure, and I imagine the people do too. I've noticed that when we get off our boat after a long sail, everybody kind of goes to a different place. Everybody goes to the marina head, for one thing. But everybody sort of scatters. We've all been real close for a while. Now we're ready to be away from each other. So everybody scatters, and then God gathers them together and says this, I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is the sign, the rainbow. This is the rainbow covenant. And every time God sees the rainbow, God's going to remember not to wipe us out, which is a good thing, I think. I use little mnemonics too. Apparently, God needs a little help with memory. God's old, so, you know, that happens. Never again am I going to wipe you out. My rainbow will remind me. That's God's covenant. That's God's promise. This is a wilderness story. A whole community has been wiped out. These people don't know what they're going to do to rebuild. And God says, don't worry, because I'm going to be there. We read these stories and we argue about whether they're true or not. We do TV specials about finding the ark. This isn't an event. This is an experience. The event has been overwhelmed by the experience. The experience is that there are moments when we feel wiped out, overwhelmed, where God, even God, has given up on us. What threatened your very existence? That's the flood. You don't have to look in Turkey. It's here. It's in your memory. My grandfather was wiped out by the failure of a bank in the 1930s, and he never trusted a bank again in his whole life. My whole generation grew up with stories like that, stories of the flood, only it was called the Depression. Sometimes the flood is a divorce, especially if it comes on you unexpectedly. Your whole life has changed. And you can never go back. Every time you fill out a form, there are those boxes, married, single, widowed, divorced. Which are you? I'm married, but I've been divorced. Which one should I check? Whatever experience of feeling wiped out, that's the flood. And it brings you to the wilderness where eventually we're all confronted with how to live. Now, the whole point of these stories, I think, is to give us the tools to live right now, not to argue about what happened long ago. The whole purpose of these stories is to teach us to live God's way. After the flood in the wilderness, there is a promise and a covenant, and this it is. This is what it is. I'm never going to give up on you. I'm never going to give up on you. I'm never going to give up on you. That's God's promise. So wherever you are, in whatever condition you find yourself, God has not given up on you. Doesn't matter how bad you are, doesn't matter how bad things get, I'm never going to give up on you, I promise. That's what God says, I promise, I'm never going to give up on you. Now, we're ready to go back and look at Jesus in the wilderness. I know that Jesus knew this about God, knew that God had not given up on him. He has three different encounters there. The first is with what's called the Satan, the Satan. The Satan is really just means tempter. It means that prosecutor, that person who tries to tease out whatever bad is in you. That sounds to me like a description of many of the experiences in life in which the fundamental temptation is to say, I can do it on my own. I'm good. I'm from that culture of men where I always say, we could be lying on the pavement, bleeding to death. And a friend would come up and say, hey, how are you? And we would say, fine. I'm from that generation of men who, if that friend went on and said, hey, you look hurt, do you need help? We'd say, no, I'm fine. I'm good. Just rest and I'll get up in a minute. We were taught from day one, do it on your own. You're all you need. But the truth is, we're not all we need. Temptation is the choice to say we are. It is the possibility of choosing to live on your own, to believe that we can be enough in ourselves, apart from God's purpose and blessing. So that's the first encounter of Jesus. And the second encounter is with the wild animals, with creation itself. And finally, the third is with angels. Now, angel is just a word that means messenger. Angels are everybody who comes by and helps us experience God's presence. In the gospel text, it says that the angels waited on him. That's the same word that's used for those who minister to others. This is how God is arching over the world, how God is giving us a foundation for our future. And it begins with a promise and a covenant. The rainbow is a symbol of that covenant. Out there in the wilderness, there are terrors, but there are angels too. Out there in the wilderness, there is a Satan, there is a temptation, but there are angels too. There are people who remind us that God has made a covenant, a promise. And God's hope is that we will have the faith to recognize them and wait for them, that we will know they are there because God has not given up on us. Now, I think Lent is often a time for doing deals. You know these deals? Sometimes I've quoted Anne Lamott, who says one of the main forms of prayer is, help me, help me, help me. And I think often Lent prayers are help me, help me, help me prayers. Whatever wilderness we're facing, we go to God and say, if I give up M&Ms, will you help me? If I give up bread, will you help me? If I give up bacon, no, I'm not giving up bacon. But you get the idea. That somehow we can go to God and make a deal. But Lent is not a time for deals. Lent is a time for giving God some space and time. Some space and time to live in your heart. The promise is a gift and a covenant. A good response to make to that promise is to make a promise yourself. For example, what about making a particular time in your day, a prayer time? What about taking home your bulletin and reading the scripture each day, letting it open itself and ripen within you like bread rising? We make covenants here, and when someone joins this church, we say, sincerely repentant for your sins and humble to reliance upon divine grace, you promise that you will endeavor to be the disciple and follower of Jesus in doing the Heavenly Father's will. It continues, but I hope you see the point. Covenant is how God makes a path from the wilderness to the promised land, from the loneliness of the wilderness to the community of Christ. This year, through the season of Lent, I want to walk with you through some of the promises of God, the covenants that God makes. I call these the rainbow path for this first covenant. And this week, as we wander through the wilderness together, God hopes for us that we will walk knowing that God is there, taking God's promise seriously, leaning on God's promise instead of doing a deal with the darkness. This week, whether you walk familiar paths or places in a strange wilderness, remember what God has said. I will never give up on you. I promise. And if you remember, your steps will be steps along the rainbow path. Amen. Amen.